Rasta Radio, the African voice. It's all about you.
But now we're speaking to Chifewa and Liza from the DCCD. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
I just noticed there's no A.
What do you mean?
No, remember it was the DCCAD.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the A is gone.
We lost the A.
We lost the A.
Even Janice just told me now, like, well, there's no A. Stop saying DCCAD. But anyway, how are you guys doing?
Oh, we're okay, thanks.
This weather, hey?
It's up and down.
Yeah, like, it's giving me so much stress. Like, make up your mind. You know, you're either summer or you're not. You must just choose one thing. So today we're speaking about volunteering and your career.
Yes.
Which is something that a lot of people do. I personally am volunteering. But a lot of people don't know that you should be start, like, you could start volunteering and actually work yourself up from there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Look, the reason why we thought it's important to talk about volunteering is that, you know, a lot of times you get people that graduate, for example, or they're near to graduation, or they're busy looking for work, but they're saying that the companies or the organizations always say, we need experience. So volunteering for us is a very useful way of gaining experience while you're still studying, especially. And we also wanted to talk about, you know, how to approach volunteering professionally so that you could really benefit from doing the volunteer work. Mm. So in addition to giving back to the community, you also, you know, gaining from the experience.
I also think volunteering is important because if you think about a job advert, it always talks about skills. Maybe they will say a bachelor's degree in communication science. Then they talk about ability to work in the group or time management and all that. So people always complain that where will I get those skills since I was just studying?
But I've always found it unfair. Well, what you're saying, that people would say, have experience and all of these things. But when I think about volunteering, yesterday I was speaking, after the exam, I was speaking to a friend of mine, and she was telling me that she was trying to volunteer at a specific radio station. And they told her that, no, we don't take volunteers anymore because you find that they like, you know, when they're in the workspace, they don't have money. They don't have money for lunch. Like, they just come in there because they need the experience desperately. And they started to feel bad for them. Like, but it's like you're kind of wasting your time because we don't pay you. You're always here on time. Mm. You work as much as everybody else. Mm. But, you know, you don't get paid. And sometimes people will be having lunch and stuff. You don't have lunch. Sometimes you have taxi issues because you can't afford, you know. But isn't volunteering unfair?
I don't think so, but I also want to put it into context that there are organizations that are very well-run volunteer programs, and I would encourage students to look for those kind of programs because, as you're saying now, it could be construed as unfair because I'm giving my time, I'm using my transport money to get here, I must buy my own lunch and all of those things, and I'm not getting paid. But you also need to think about what are you getting out of the experience. Mm. Mm. So if you are within an organization that has a well-structured volunteer program, there's a lot of workplace-related skills that you can learn from that. And that you know, really contributes to your own career development, and that is what you get from the experience.
And also one need to manage their resources properly as you're volunteering. So if you stay in area X, you don't need to travel 100 km to go to a volunteer organization if that will create problems, because then organizations get problems when you phone to say, I can't come in today, I don't have money for taxis. And then you create these perceptions that people are not reliable or they are not committed or they are struggling. So why would we want to put people through these experiences? Because then people feel guilty that maybe we are being unfair. But think about things around you. Think about institutions around you, whether it's old age home, whether it's a crèche, whether it's a school, a hospital or a clinic. You could start, even from your own community, you could start something which could be part of the volunteering, which you can get something out of this.
Now, what I've noticed is that, you know, when you volunteer, it's a commitment you make.
Yes.
You're committing yourself to a specific cause.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm thinking about a situation where, we learn things in universities. I mean, I've learned about communication and politics and all, but there are things that I cannot learn here at the university, no matter how hard they'll try to teach me how to work in a team, unless if I work in a team.
That's exactly why you need to do volunteer work. You know, if you think about it, that they, you know, if you are within a specific field, like, for example, you're studying communication, you're interested in broadcasting. So obviously there are, you know, definite skills that you need to develop in order to function in that environment. Mm. So when you started thinking about volunteer work, you know, you needed to think about, will my exposure here be able to help me to, you know, to develop the skills that I need? So that's also important to give thought to. You know, if I join this old age home, for example, what kind of skills do I think I could develop through my contributions there?
But also, I think, just coming back to what you said, that there are certain things that books will never teach us. If you think about what we learn a lot when we are studying, it's about the field, but not about ourselves and how we interact with the work. And a key element, if you are sitting here, you need the confidence. And I could imagine how hard it must have been for you the first day you realize, I'm going to interview somebody. Will it be very messy? What happens if a person confront me? And you had to walk your own journey to feel confident about how to prepare yourself. How do you come across your guest? How do you maintain this anxiety, but also be confident about these things?
That is very true. That is very true, because if you think about it, my sister once told me this. It's like, they'll teach you everything at university, but they'll never teach you how to photocopy. You know, nobody will come to the, because now if you don't have experience, there's got to be a person in the organization that you'll be working at to go and teach you how to photocopy, to teach you
scanning a document.
Those things, nobody, like, no, there's no manual that says here's a manual for the other stuff they don't teach you at university. Now, how do I approach a company? I'm guessing that already, if I probably want to become a health worker, I'll probably go to a clinic. But what is my approach?
Look, the approach must be exactly like you would apply for a job. For me, it's important to think about the perception that you're creating about yourself. So you also, part of it is that you need to be sure about, you know, what are the skills that I already have that I think I would be able to use within this organization. So through that, you could also communicate, for example, let's say you have computer skills and you've seen that at the local school they need somebody, you know, to teach maybe children after school. Is there a way for you to become involved with that? So you would use your computer skills to then approach the school by informing them that you've identified this need. You've got these skills. Is there a way for us to work together? Mm-hmm.
As Lisa was talking, you know, you need to think about what will you be bringing, what will you get out of this, what do you also hope to achieve for both the organization and yourself through your involvement.
Because when I think about it now, as we're speaking about it, do you have to give yourself a time frame? Because I've given myself a time frame. Like, I will be at UNISA Radio for this period, and I hope by the end of that period, I would have gained a lot of experience and things. And I have. You know, it's kind of weird. When I was in the beginning, I couldn't speak like this to guests. I remember, I think one of my shows, my first shows, I interviewed a viewer, and I was so nervous, and I was like, I can't believe. But as time progressed, you become better at what you do now. When do you leave?
I think before I talk about when you leave, I also wanted to make a comment that as you are doing the volunteer work, it's important for you to keep track of what you're busy doing. So if initially, for example, you decided that I want to develop X, Y, and Z skill, you know, every month or 2 months or so, go back and see, you know, how far am I in terms of tracking this goal of mine. And I think it's a good idea to have some kind of idea that I want to be there for the next 2 years. Not to say that that's the final thing, because you never know what other opportunities would arise from your involvement in a particular organization.
Yes, having a time frame could also help you that you don't create sort of feeling, but I've been here so for so long. What does this play? What can I learn? Mm. And that can also strain relationships, where sometimes people volunteer and they get used. They sort of start expecting, you know, maybe I've been here for 2 years. Why can't these people give me a permanent or a contract position? So it's important to have a time frame, to have goals, sort of setting goals. What am I here for? What will happen when I get into this? But again, what Lisa mentioned, they need to be reflecting and tracking of how these things is going.
Now, I would also imagine, but if let's say I want to volunteer in an organization like Greenpeace. Mm-hmm. I don't know one thing about Greenpeace, but Greenpeace. And if those skills that I get from Greenpeace, can I use them in another environment?
Of course.
Because if I'm at Greenpeace, I'm fighting for the environment. Mm. But if I had to get out of that workspace and go work elsewhere, can I say, but I've worked in Greenpeace and this is what I've learned?
Look, what you're talking about is transferable skills. So there are certain kind of generic skills that employers value. Mm. So things you talked about, teamwork, communicating
problem
to
solving.
Others, problem solving, computer skills. So or project management skills. So those are kind of generic skills that you can use across different industries.
I actually want to emphasize that, because sometimes I get the feeling, or my perception is that when people are thinking about volunteering, there is sort of, I must rather volunteer for a better organization. I can't just volunteer at a school. Yet just locally, you don't need to volunteer at UNISA or Greenpeace because it's big. Of course, maybe with the complexity of the organization, the more you learn. But there are certain transferable skills where you never thought it's important, you will learn a lot. And you could use during the interviews while working with the kids. I learned to be sensitive to other people's needs. I learned to communicate with parents and to negotiate. So it's important to think about those things also.
All right, guys, our conversations keep getting shorter and shorter. I don't know why. I think there's a conspiracy to stop us from talking. But anyway, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
You guys are coming also next week.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And are you guys writing exams?
No.
Lucky you, hey.
I don't think you can ever say to a master's student or a doctorate student that they're lucky.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
We've got our own challenges.
So don't feel too sorry for yourself.
All right. Thank you. See you next week.
Okay.
Thank you.